It's time for the Ocho.
Ocho.
The best 12 minutes of 8 minutes of radio.
8 minutes.
Brought to you by the rich, complex flavor of Pendleton whiskey. Letter Bud. Please drink responsibly.
Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM. It is Ashley Ryan, Bucky Jacobson, and Durs Hurst here on a Friday morning. And I just realized I'm using someone else's pen. That's weird. You know, like, are you a have a specific pen?
No, I'm not. No.
Oh, I have to, and I bring them everywhere. It's a Profile Ball 1.6 Papermate.
Yeah.
I have to use this pen. I don't like anything smaller than this, and that I feel like scratches the paper.
Yeah.
This one was pretty close to it, and it was a big round stick, but I don't like the width. And how did it take me almost 2 hours? I used that pen. I feel like I've been kidding myself for the last 2 hours.
Chuck has pen snob issues as well.
Yes, I've given him some of my old pens that were too scratchy for me. Mm. He likes scratchier.
He likes
to just glide over the paper.
Yeah.
But it can't be too glidey, and then it bleeds.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of thought that goes into something that just as long as it writes what I want it to write, it's okay.
Really? Yeah. You don't have a strong pen preference, Bucky?
No.
Oh, man, I think most people do, don't they?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty standard thing.
Anyway, I apologize because that is a minute of all of your lives that no one is going to get back.
Right.
So I am sorry for that. It is the Ocho, the 8 top stories of the day. And I think we're probably, well, first, Pendleton Whiskey, right, is our sponsor. And they are proudly sponsoring Little League dads all around the world now.
Yeah, well, I imagine there's a lot of them that are partaking just to watch the show that is. I will be one.
Okay.
And sorry about it, parents, but that's the way that I will make it fun for your children.
What are you going to make tonight for your cocktail on a Friday night?
I think I'm going to go with the double kicker. It's been that kind of week.
What is a double kicker?
Double kicker has, it's an ounce of Pendleton Midnight.
Okay,
it's
that's the 6 and the 4 year.
Yes, yeah,
averaging
six and the
5
year.
Years.
No, that's not what it is. It's two different ones. Very complex, bold flavor that comes out of that. And an ounce of scotch.
Oh.
With 2 ounces of grapefruit juice and a little pinch of salt.
That is a kick in the pants right there.
That's a double kick in the pants.
I can't wait
It'll
to hear
get your
all
Friday
about that.
Going.
Yeah, I would like you to text me a video after.
Okay.
While you're double kicking.
After a couple of them, I will.
Yeah, after a quadruple kicker. Now we get to the Ocho, the 8 top stories of the day. And, of course, the number one story, the Mariners win their season opener.
It's Ty France. Opportunity right here. Two speedy runners. One out. Ty to right field, chasing Brennan back. Look it up! It's gone! Ty France gives the Mariners a 3-0 lead. Yes, indeed! Ty France doing Ty France things. Going the opposite way. Big time!
Well, that's the big hit they needed. For Ty, that's his third hit in the ballgame.
It was the big hit they needed. It proved to be all they needed. They won 3-0. It was a sellout crowd, 45,268 fans there as the Mariners took down the Cleveland Guardians. Bucky, you were there in person. What was it like?
It was alive, no doubt about it. I mean, they definitely kind of patched into that feel, the electricity that we had at the end of last season, making the playoffs, winning a series, and then you got the majority of that team back, and the fan base is hungry for Mariners baseball, unlike in a way that they haven't been for quite some time, and understandably so. And they went out there, rode a dominant pitching performance, and then Ty France just did just enough. I mean, they were having a hard time pushing runs across, understandably so. The Bieber went out there and was doing his job pretty well for the Indians, but they ended up getting to old tight pants 99 for Chin or whatever his name
Karen
is.
Karinchak.
Yeah. I don't even want to pronounce it right.
I know. Here's the thing, juggling. Too, is if Karinchak was a bad pitcher, I wouldn't have any hate for him, but he's actually a really good pitcher, which is why I don't like him.
Yeah, he is good, and he wasn't good last night. He's got an ERA of 81 right now, so it'll probably come down.
I hope it doesn't.
But hopefully it doesn't come down this series.
Yeah, I hope it just continues to go up. Let's see how high we can get that sucker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mariners pitching was the big story of the night, aside from Ty's home run, of course. The incredible pitching from the Mariners shut out the Guardians, and it was led by none other than Luis Castillo.
Swing and a miss. Straw is gone. Back-to-back strikeouts for Luis, third for the ballgame.
Yeah, you see the four-seamer at the top of the zone, but he has a really good sinker, too. You see that late movement at the bottom of the zone.
And a pitch. Swing and a miss. Struck him out. Strikes out the side after giving up an infield hit. La Piedra, the rock indeed. He's rolling. Wow, just blew it by him. Just abusing him. Five Ks. So we play here in the fifth. Two down. Swing and a miss. And Nino goes down swinging. Strikeout number six. 10 consecutive retired by Castillo.
And he ended up six innings pitched, one hit, six strikeouts. He threw just 76 pitches. Lots of people I saw on social media saying, oh, why'd they pull Castillo? Service said he wasn't going to let him get anywhere close to 100 pitches. Do you think they pulled him at the right time?
Yeah. No. Yeah, I mean, you don't need to go wear guys out. It's a long season. We're hoping this guy makes 30-plus starts. 35 starts would be nice. Maybe 33 starts, something like that. And so you got to ramp a guy up. I mean, he did have an injury last year at the beginning of the season. And so I think that they've been doing that all through spring training. And now that we're on the regular season, he's stretched out enough to go six innings.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're not wanting to go get out there and just push him as far as he can possibly go in the first start of the year. So it was good. And then it's nice to be able to get the other guys some work. You know, they ended up bringing in Brash, Seawald, and Munoz, who all shoved it as well.
Yeah, that's the nice thing is when you don't have the pressure of a crappy bullpen, you're like, well, yeah, we can get our guys out. He's done a great job. We can pull him now, and let's lean on these other guys who, I mean, my friend who is a Mariners fan but isn't, like, really in the know, she sent me a text last night and was like, who's this Brash fella?
Yeah.
Basically, I was like, oh, well, you're going to get to know him. Like, he's good.
The slider curveball that he threw to Jose Ramirez was one of the dirtiest. I mean, I can honest to God say I've never taken a swing like that. I'm not Jose Ramirez is a far better baseball player than I ever was, and yet he looks stupid. Mm-hmm. I mean, that thing is so dumb. I mean, it's like a video game.
Yeah,
it doesn't look real. It looks like you're playing a video game as hard as that thing breaks, and it darted in his back foot. He falls down. It's that's got to be nice as a pitcher to not just strike a guy out, but make him fall down because as he's swinging, he's like, oh crap, that's gonna hit me.
Yeah.
Yeah, just go have a seat.
Yeah.
Better luck next time.
It was great. And again, Mariners get their win on the home opener. That means that they're atop the AL West.
Oh.
Right? Yeah.
We're already looking at the standings.
Yeah. Well, magic number is 161, Bucky.
I think all the other teams besides Oakland lost because they beat LA.
Yeah, Oakland and Anaheim Oakland or whatever. Won. Yeah, Oakland won, which was great for our Green Jacket draft because I had the Mariners. Chris Kidd has the Guardians.
Oh.
Chuck has the Angels. So they got the L. And then that brings us to the rest of Major League Baseball.
Huh.
But we'll get to that later, I promise. Okay. The big story, aside from the pitching, aside from obviously opening day, was, of course, the rules and how did the new rules go and how did it affect the game?
They pay one for two, baby partner. Got a base hit and clock violation.
Yep.
So ball one.
One and two now.
One and two. Nobody on to get 15 seconds to throw it 20 seconds with a man aboard.
So the interesting thing is you could kind of tell that even Dave and Mike Blowers were kind of like, oh, clock violation. Okay, yeah, we're here now. And I don't even think the audio can, no matter what we did, could justify the chaos that ensues from the clock violation because Karinchak clearly is rattled. Then the next pitch is, I mean, near JP's head. And it's just, it was interesting to see. It did play a part in the game. Mm-hmm. And it didn't obviously directly affect the outcome because it wasn't like that was, you know, all of a sudden then they walk a guy home and we win the game. But it played enough of a role.
Yeah, it rattled him, no doubt about it. I mean, he's a guy that I could see how it rattled. Ultimately, I think this pitch clock is more advantage to the pitchers because the hitter kind of has to hurry up and get in there, which can take away some of your mental preparation before you get in. But regardless, you got to figure it out. And yet the pitcher should be wanting to work fast. You should be wanting to throw it in less than 15 seconds and just to keep the game going and keep your defense kind of on their toes back there versus falling asleep. But if you have a guy like this that has a bunch of routine things that he does, juggling the ball, he used to play with his hair and all that, all of a sudden he ends up kind of losing track of it, gets a ball called on him, and then he did kind of get rattled. The crowd got into it. It got loud.
Yeah.
They kind of were like, ooh, this is, which is a, that's, there's kind of a cool element to that,
right,
bringing the crowd into it, and yet I just don't really want it to affect the game, even though I'm okay with it kind of somewhat taken away some of the unnecessary nonsense that guys like him do.
Do you think it was a coincidence that he cut his hair for this season?
Probably not.
No, I think that he had a hard time not playing with his hair.
Yeah.
And so he's like, well, if I just cut it, then I can't. There's nothing to play with. So now all I have to do is juggle. But he still has a hard time juggling in the allotted amount of time.
Yeah, and we did get a text on the Tullamore Dew text line that said, I want 30,000 people counting down like they did to Karl Malone in the 90s, which I will agree. If you have an entire stadium of people counting down the pitch clock, that would be a pretty fun element to add in. I would agree with that. I just think they need to add 5 more seconds on each one. So 20 seconds with no runner on, 25 seconds with a runner on. It's just,
yep.
It just felt too fast. I think Karinchak would agree, but I don't really do that for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just don't want it to, I mean, I'm okay with doing it the first 6 innings. Add some time to it, and then the end of the game when it's all on the line, like, why do you want the end? Why do you want the end? Are you ever watching a great movie and you want the end to come quicker?
Yeah, no.
No, you're kind of like, oh, this is where it all is leading up to. This is the moment. It's crescendoing and, oh, no, hurry up, get it over with. That's just not the nature of the game. It's not the way in which it's supposed to be. And yet I'm trying to reserve judgment, full judgment, until I see if guys can adjust to it and it doesn't feel rushed like it did last
night. What if it's like a 5-run game, though? In like the 9th inning.
I mean, well, that would probably be different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but then, and I suppose at that point, though, you can't sit there and say, okay, well, if it's a 5-run game, we don't need it, or we can still use it. If it's close, we can't. But I think the biggest thing is you just don't, no one wants to see that one game that's going to be decided on a pitch clock violation.
No.
Because that is not the way that any game should end.
I want it gone altogether during the playoffs, too.
Well, and they have said there's room for them to amend some of these things.
So
I do wonder if that will be something that they do make a change to. I did tell you we'd talk more about the rest of Major League Baseball on opening day. So the Houston Astros lost.
That's good.
Love to see it.
We on this show talk a lot about what's on my third TV, and I was watching Chicago White Sox beat the Houston Astros on third TV last night and loved every second of it for two reasons. One, because I always love to see the Astros lose. And two, because Bucky has the Astros and I have the White Sox in our green jacket.
Oh, wow. So you're already up. You're already keeping tallies.
Yeah. Oh,
you're
going
to do
away.
It all season long.
Yep. Can't wait.
The Astros are not going to lose every game. I'm certain of it, even if they lost the first one of the year. And the White Sox are not going to win 100, I can promise you.
No, probably not. But it was the Astros' first home opener loss in 10 straight home openers.
Well, I like to hear that.
Yeah, right? So maybe this is our year.
Oh, this is our year.
This is our year. It doesn't matter what they do. Other news around the Major League Baseball, Aaron Judge on pace for 162 home runs. But also Ty Francis, too. So Aaron Judge hit number one in his first at-bat yesterday as the Yankees shut out the Giants. Justin Verlander placed on IL with a strained teres major. It's basically something near his shoulder.
Okay.
So they're just going to have him throw lightly.
That's worse than his teres minor.
Is it? I think it's majorly worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if
you're right. It is. Yeah, definitely. It's also worse than the medium.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a doozy. You don't want to hurt your medium. Terrace.
It is. And Adley Rutschman and the O's made history last night. Rutschman went 5-for-5 with a home run in the O's 10-9 win over the Red Sox. That is the first time since 1937 that someone has gone 5-for-5 on opening day.
It's a good way to start your year.
Yeah. He's going, I can't even do the math on 5 times 162, but he's going to have a hell of a year.
Yeah, I think he'll slow down.
Eh, maybe. We'll see.
I hope.
And now I've spent too much time on baseball. So on to the Ocho, number five. Our number five story, Kraken got the win last night.
Beniers back in for McCann. Right wing side, his shot chested down by Bill Stahl. McCann takes him. Here's Beniers, lost the puck, gets it back, scores! Matty Beniers in below the bottom of the near circle. Shot it, lost it, got it back, and wrapped it in around Bill Stahl. 2-0 Seattle, 9:23 to play in the first.
Beniers started the play out in the neutral zone and finished it right near the front of the net.
That highlight by Everett makes it sound like the old McDonald's Michael Jordan commercial. Around the hoop, through the gym, up. Like, that's kind of what it reminded me of right there.
Yeah.
Kraken did take down the Ducks last night at CPA by a score 4-1. That was Everett Fitzhugh on the call along with Dave Tomlinson, our very own. And according to our own Mike Benton, the magic number now for the Kraken at 9 to make the playoffs. So 9 points.
Nine points.
And they're in. We will be joined by Daniel Sprong this morning at 9:30, so we're going to talk a lot more Kraken, and we're also going to discuss our expectations for the Kraken coming up in our next segment. So we will move along. But next up for the Kraken, they do play the Kings on Saturday, and that game can be heard right here on 93.3 KJR. It is Final Four weekend. That is the Fantastic Four. I think it has a much better ring to it than the Final Four. No?
I'm going to stick with the Final Four. It's just kind of stuck again. Maybe that's me just being old and having a hard time changing.
I'm with you, Bucky.
Yeah, you like it better, too? Yeah. Oh, that's
yeah, Fantastic unusual. Four is a mouthful. Maybe they'll make a movie out of it or something instead.
Yeah, Final Four is shorter.
Yeah.
I like shorter.
Yeah, that's right. You just call it the Four. The Final Four stage is set for Saturday. Florida Atlantic University and San Diego State face off at 3:09, and then Miami will take on UConn at 5:49. Of course, you can hear those games right here on the KJR family. First game will be on 93.3. Game two on 9:50 a.m., of course, because we'll have the Kraken on 93.3.
Loaded.
So make sure you're dialed in on all of our stations. It's the women's Final Four tonight, though, and the biggest story, of course, is the matchup of Caitlin Clark and South Carolina.
Clark will fire and hit. Clark connects on a three. Timeout Louisville. Here's Clark wide open. You bet. 31 for the Maestro. Clark decides to take. Why not?
And Jones just threw her hand up in the air like, what more can I do?
I mean, that does seem like the only way to defend Caitlin Clark is to just throw your hands up and say, what more can I do?
Right.
She is amazing.
Yeah, I don't know how you stop. I mean, she just looks like she's kind of playing in a different playground than mm-hmm. the rest of the ladies out there. I've never seen a female basketball player be able to pull from where she's pulling from. I mean,
effortless.
A lot of times, you see girls like from the 3-point line, it's like they got to almost heave it up there. She's like taking jump shots.
Yeah.
Like what you see a lot of the fellas do. It's impressive, to say the least.
It's like a female Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's impressive for sure. The interesting thing the bummer for me is that you're going to see South Carolina and Iowa tonight. And I would have loved to see that as the final, you know, winner take all. Mm-hmm. But they will be playing, of course, in the semifinals. And LSU and Virginia Tech kick things off tonight at 4 o'clock. Can you hear that, Bucky? It's almost Masters week. Let that sink in.
Put your Nance pants on.
My Nance pants are always on.
That means you don't have pants.
Hello, friends.
Yeah, that was good. I like that. It is almost Masters week, and I just can't get enough of Masters golf talk. So Jason Puckett is going to join us today at 9 o'clock. We're going to talk some baseball, but we're also going to talk some golf and maybe a little preview of the Masters. Yes, it's soothing, isn't it?
The stirs.
My azaleas bloomed this week.
Did they really?
They really did. Palmer pointed it out yesterday, and I looked at her and I said, that's because it's almost Masters week.
Wow.
Yeah. She didn't believe me.
Did you do that on purpose?
I didn't.
Or it's just God loves the Masters.
It was God.
Huh.
Makes sense to me. I don't know. All right, we're going to talk about our Kraken expectations coming up next right here. I feel like I have to talk very soothingly and slowly. Right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM.
Now back to Chuck and Buck on your home for the Final Four.
The Final Four.
Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM.
The Final Four.
Get Does that get you fired up for some playoff hockey there, Bucky?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have never been this fired up for playoff hockey.
You haven't?
No. Okay. Well, but that's because I just
you didn't
became
have a, team.
A hockey fan. Yeah.
Yeah. I get that.
And yet last year was somewhat expected and yet still kind of disappointing, right? Kind of got hyped up or I got excited and then I didn't know really what I should be excited about.
Right. I understand.
But there wasn't a lot.
Well, and especially when you look at the expansion franchise that was there before in Vegas and how well they did, you right. think, well, Lightning could strike twice.
Yeah, and although the smart people that know far more about it were like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
The rest of the league understands the mistakes they made in that franchise draft or whatever that was that allowed them to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. So I wasn't expecting anything. It just was kind of just fell flat, and yet they have rebounded unbelievably this year. It's all of a sudden now they're on the cusp of making the playoffs. I still feel like I should scat already. Mm-hmm. I should be in that mode because it's 99% that they're going to make it, and yet I just can't do it. I still feel like if I do that and then they fall off and right. don't make it, it would be my fault.
Well, and that's the thing. Yeah, last year we were temper your expectations. This year we can go nuts. By the way, I am Ashley Ryan. That is Bucky Jacobson. We've got Anders Hurst on the board there, 93.3 KJR. Chuck is on his way to Kansas City, or at least on his way to SeaTac Airport right now. Hi, Chuck, if you're listening.
He's listening, of course. Probably judging us.
Yeah, two hands on the wheel, 10-2.
Yeah, exactly.
Pay attention and wave if someone lets you in. But this year, yeah, we can go nuts with the playoff expectations, but I'm with you in the sense that because we haven't done this before, I don't want to get ahead of myself. And then you listen to Dave Tomlinson, who says, oh, no, we don't talk about it until it's happened. But then you have Everett, who's like, I'm talking about it all the time. Let's do this. And Mike Benton's telling us the magic number is 9. I mean, if you look at the standings as they are right now, you've got the Pacific Division clinched by Vegas right now. And then in second is the Oilers, third is the Kings, and then we are atop the wild card spot. We've got 90 points, and we're ahead 5 points. Next is the Jets there at 85, okay?
Yeah, which they're in at this point, too.
Right, yeah. We've got, it would be, they are. And the only teams that have been eliminated are the Coyotes, Sharks, Ducks, and Blackhawks. Now, I bring that up because we've got 8 games left, mm-hmm. and 4 of the next 8 games are against the Blackhawks and the Coyotes. We have 3 against the Coyotes.
That's nice.
So that could help you get some points, assuming that you do what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Right? So my question is now, as we sit here and approach this first ever NHL franchise playoff, it's weird if I'm hesitant to say it, because Mariners last year, I was like, well, let's do it. Mm-hmm. But as we approach this, we've been going leading up to this saying, is it a disappointment if they don't make the playoffs this year? And we kind of, you know, said, well, no, it's not. But now that it's within grasp, and it would almost be like a collapse that would keep us out, have our expectations changed? And if they were to not make the playoffs, is that a massive disappointment at this point?
Yeah. Well, I would think it would be. I mean, Calgary's the team you're kind of fighting off. They're the closest one to you. Nashville's right there, a point behind them. They only have 7 games left, right? Mm-hmm. So when you have a 7-point lead over them, that means essentially if you just tied out, like you just tied every game, they would have to win every game,
right,
in order to beat you. And so it would take a collapse. And so, yeah, I'm to the point now, midway through the season when they were right there, I mean, they were kind of going up and down with leading their division. And it was like, okay, I can see how this happens. And yet I don't know how, with the whole point system of getting 2 for a win and 1 for a tie, and I didn't know how quickly the ebb and flow can go. And so I just was kind of falling back into my just baseball mindset of I can't count any chickens before they hatch.
Right.
And so I still am there, even though it feels like, boy, you'd really have to, especially against the competition they're going against, that mm-hmm. you're going to drop all these games against teams that are already eliminated. Now, I do know in other sports, those guys that are playing, even though they're eliminated, now all of a sudden their focus shifts from, okay, we're going out there to win every game to make the playoffs. It's to, we got to go out and play hard so I have a job next year.
Yeah.
So I'm vying for my own career at this point in time. Well, that is still something that you should be able to go out there and kind of exploit their weaknesses, use your strengths to your advantage and exploit their weaknesses. And it seems like they're kind of coming into that right now. I mean, the game a couple days ago against Nashville, last week when mm-hmm. they kind of needed to win that ball game. They did.
Them.
And then they get stomped by Minnesota. Well, then all of a sudden, I guess now that plays off where you got 2 points there and then you didn't get any. It offsets it to some extent when it comes to that. Now, you know, Fitzhugh and DT both have said you just got to go out and take care of business against teams that you're better than. And they have a bunch of those games down the stretch here. So just go out there. I mean, the nice thing is with that magic number, you figure if you end up winning three ball games and make up six, while Calgary ends up losing a couple ball games or ball games.
That's all right. Hockey. That's all right.
Puck games.
I got it. Yeah, puck games.
If you end up doing that, now all of a sudden we could find ourselves a week from now having clinched. And so that would be really, really nice because then that would set me at ease, even though I feel at ease more than I feel like I should be, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I feel definitely anxious about it, but it is, again, just because of the unknown. Like, I grew up and I watched Canucks hockey because that's all we had. But I never was like, oh, I'm a massive Canucks fan. You know, I was drawn to some of the players more so than the actual team, but it was the closest team we had. But I never got the feel of playoff hockey because I didn't live in Vancouver and I'd never actually been to a game. So now it's like you have this emotional attachment to this team. And so I have like anxiety over it a little bit, and it's, which I don't mind at all. I love that anxious feeling and that excitement. And I should point out the other four games that we have. So we've got three against the Coyotes, one against the Blackhawks, one against the Canucks, one against the Kings, and two against the Vegas Knights. So, I mean, the other half of the schedule is definitely a little tricky because the Canucks still, they're not eliminated. I mean, it's unlikely that they're going to make it in, but they're not eliminated, so they're still playing for something. Vegas has already clinched it. You're going to round out the season with those two games. You've got the Kings on Saturday. They're in the third spot in the Pacific Division right now, and they're 6 points ahead of us. So you'd think that they're feeling pretty safe, but you never know. Mm-hmm. So I think, what you're saying, if you can just take care of business against the Coyotes and the Blackhawks, that's 8 points right there.
Right.
And then all you have to do is tie one of those other games or win, and then you're good.
Yeah.
So let's just do that, and then we don't have to worry.
Yeah, that said, I just don't know, right? And we got to know kind of some of the front office people, Hackstall and some of the big wigs, when we had that little meeting with them, and then we've gotten to talk to a few of the players, and yet hockey players give a lot of the cliche answers, understandably so. You don't want to give bulletin board material to your opponents, and you don't want to sound cocky. It doesn't seem like hockey players have an issue with that. And yet it still is one of these, I don't know for sure how much goes into, we want to be playing our best, right? I mean, there's so much. There's kind of feels like there's an art form almost, the way in which you skate around and you understand where people are going to be and you're thinking ahead and controlling the puck and all that stuff. And yet this team I'm hearing is kind of designed around speed. And so, okay, do you want to kind of rest and coast in, and then all of a sudden, boom, you're ready to go out there and kind of beat them with speed? Or is it something where, no, we need to be kind of clicking on all cylinders, even those last couple games against Vegas before you get into the playoffs, to where you're not kind of riding some downward momentum when all of a sudden the hockey means the most?
I will say one disappointing thing is that I saw this week is that Burakovsky is still no timetable set for his return, and we need him on the ice. I mean, he is fast. He made an instant impact when he got here, and Anders is back there nodding his head.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this yesterday on the Furnace show. You know, as a team that relies on depth, if you lose one of your top guys, it kind of pushes everyone up, and that depth gets lost a lot. And that third line that used to be your fourth line a little bit are now like playing a lot more often, and they're not playing against those other teams' third and fourth lines. So it makes it a lot harder for you to get production when you don't have that top end talent like a lot of the other teams like Vegas and Edmonton do. So, it's tough. We need him back big time.
Yeah, we do. And I think if we can still take care of our business and we just get him back in time for the playoffs, then, I mean, that puts us on an entirely new trajectory, too, because we're a different team than we've been these last couple months.
Yeah.
So, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Heal fast, Andre, please. Pretty please.
Somebody give him some ointment.
Yes.
Even if it's not your groin, just rub it on whatever hurts.
Everywhere. Rub it everywhere.
Take a bath in it.
There you go. That might work. No, I don't think anyone should take it will get in your crevices.
Maybe your crevices need to heal.
It's possible. It is possible. All right. We've got more Crack and Talk coming up when Daniel Sprong joins us today at 9:30. Up next, of course, we've got to discuss the third television from last night. That's next on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM.
Now back to Chuck and Buck on your home for the Final Four.
The Final Four.
Sports Radio 93.3, KJR FM.
The Final Four.
Sports Radio 93.3, KJR FM. It is Ashley Ryan, Bucky Jacobson, and Durshurst here on a Friday. Chuck on his way to Kansas City, driving down I-5 right now. Maybe, well, probably 405. Driving down 405. Actually, I take that back. He's probably sitting in SeaTac cursing security.
Yeah, he's doing what he hates the most right now. He hates flying more than anything. Okay. Not that he's scared of flying, just the whole
process.
Herding in like cattle. And
yeah, and he's probably a cattle in the security line right now.
Yeah.
And then he's thinking, I've only got an hour and 12 minutes till my flight. How long is this security line going to be?
Mm-hmm.
And then he's thinking bad words that I will not say.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't. Yeah.
No, I won't. I won't. And that would be irresponsible of me, so I'm not going to do that. I had my show schedule here somewhere. Oh, yeah. And then I put it somewhere else because I thought it was the Ocho. It's not. That's the actual schedule. Right now is the time where we talk about what was on my third television last night.
Uh-huh.
So for those who are not familiar, this started back in 2020, I believe. Well, 2021. We went to our friend's house for March Madness and watched on a Friday, and they had three televisions set up, and it was impressive. And then we went home, and we were like, well, how are we going to watch all the baseball or all the basketball games? So we brought out an extra TV and just set it on a table in our living room just for March Madness. That was it. It was just so we could watch two games at once. Well, then baseball season started, and we thought, how are we going to watch a Mariners game and another show or two sporting events at the same time?
Yeah.
So then that TV never left, and it was there. Then it just got moved to the other side, and then we realized, wait a minute.
If two's cool.
Three would be better. Yeah. And now we have what we call the tower, and it is a rolling rack that has two TVs mounted on it. And so there's 99% of the time, all three TVs are on at night. And part of it is because I need to see, you know, kind of what's going on, so I don't come in here and feel like a total idiot the next day, only a partial idiot.
Mm.
But the other thing is we just are curious. We like to follow things. Baseball season, I always want the Mariners game on. And we also like to watch shows. So
MILF
now you
Manor.
Can, yeah, MILF Manor.
Yeah.
Now you can kill two birds with one stone.
Or three.
Or three stones. And so sometimes it is harder to figure out what you're going to put on the third TV. Last night was not. I had Mariners pregame on. I had Kraken pregame. Well, actually, it wasn't pregame. It was literally just the screen on ESPN Plus because it wasn't en route. So it was just sitting there counting down till the event started.
Okay.
And then it did go to the cycled Roku thing waiting, but it came back to the Kraken game eventually. And on the bottom TV, most importantly, was the White Sox beating the Astros.
Oh.
And it looked like at first the White Sox were probably going to blow it in the ninth inning. And I was not thrilled about that.
I bet not.
And luckily, they pulled it out. They got the win. It was a double win for me because, one, it was the first Astros home or season opener loss in 10 years.
Yeah.
That puts the Mariners. I mean, before we even played, we were atop the division.
Right.
And two, Bucky has the Astros because he loves them so much.
No, I
do
not.
In our green jacket draft. And I had the White Sox, who everyone did mock me. For, and I believe I should be mocked for the pick. It's fine, but I'm going to take whatever wins I can get.
Yep, got to take them.
Yeah, and especially if they come against the Astros.
Yeah, I'm super happy about it.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't get a win, but I just, unfortunately, the Astros are going to win some games.
Yeah, they are.
And fortunately for me and not you, the White Sox are not going to win as many.
I will agree, you're probably correct
but
there.
But as of right now, one for Ashley.
Yeah.
Zero for me.
Yes, and I'm going to hang on to that.
Yes, wear that one.
And I am wondering, though, will there come a point this season where you have to cheer for the Astros or Yankees because you've decided you would like to win the green jacket draft?
If there came a time, let's just say the Mariners are sitting on 109 wins,
mm-hmm.
and they've clinched the number one seed in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the Astros winning one. They're already in as well. If it came down to I had to cheer for them to win, and then that would put them in the playoffs and win me a green jacket. But if they lose, they get eliminated from playoffs, I will gladly concede the green jacket. There's no part of me that is wanting the Astros to win. I just know they're a good team. They're going to win a bunch of games. That's why I end up taking them in that. But I'm not really cheering for them to win. It's kind of one of those, it's almost hedging, right?
Yeah.
If they lose, I'm happy because of the Mariner fandom. If they win, well, I had nothing to do with it, and I suppose that gives me a point in that stupid green jacket thing.
I will say, though, if the Mariners have won 109 games, then I'm probably winning the green jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think we would all celebrate.
I will be happy. I will literally let you tailor the green jacket. If the Mariners win 109 games, you can tailor that thing, and then whenever I win it, which is very rare, I'll put it on after it's been tailored to you.
Okay. Somebody mark this time down. I'm going to write this down right now. 8:52. I'm
109 games.
109 games.
You know what? I'll even drop it down. If they just win over 100 games.
Oh, over 100.
You can tailor it. You can put an Empire waist like belt in it if you'd like to turn it into kind of a... You can bedazzle the heck out of it.
Okay.
Not with your name. Not with your name, because then it would be weird when someone else wears it.
It would just say green jacket.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea.
This is taking on an entirely new turn that I did not anticipate.
No. But I'm A-okay with you decorating. That was the old Detlef Schrempf.
Yeah, I remember
golf jacket. Yeah, but it as of right now, it fits me great. It looks really weird and tentish on you guys.
It's not about to fit you great after this season.
Oh, I hope not.
Yeah. Oh, man. I can't wait. You're going to be scatting. I'm going to be wearing a beautiful green jacket.
That's bedazzled to the max.
Bedazzled. Uh-huh. I'm going to see how many jewels I can add to that thing. It's going to be...
Yeah,
He's looking at his notes of who he
no,
has.
No, I just have to... I mean, St. Louis...
Yeah, they did lose, but then I also have the Mets, and they won.
Yeah, they don't have Diaz anymore.
No.
Could be blowing some games
they
at the
could.
End.
We'll see.
Those are going to sting.
But they, I got 3 wins yesterday, so I'll take it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I don't know what I did.
So is it total wins?
Yeah, total wins, and we each have 4 teams. And then, you had the Yankees
San Diego,
won.
I think, won, and the Yankees won.
Yeah.
Houston lost, and Philadelphia
lost.
Did they lose?
Yeah. So you're 2.
Oh, I'm
you got
screwed.
2.
I think the Padres lost, too, actually.
Oh, man, you've already lost.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, you can't lose a green jacket on day one of the season, just like you can't win the World Series on day one, right?
No. So there's like a potential of like, what would it be, 600 more wins plus?
Dang it, that's a lot.
Yeah, but you got 3 right now.
And I'm going to celebrate it because they might be the only 3. Well, no, I know I'm going to get a lot of Mariners ones, but from my other teams, they might be the only ones I get. And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's all right. I blew my second pick on the Mariners, some would say. I would say... I succeeded with my second pick.
I would say it's a success.
Yeah. All right. Well, good. I'll take that to the bank then. We're going to talk with Jason Puckett and get his experience yesterday, a little bit of his thoughts on the upcoming Mariner season, and, of course, a Masters preview. That's coming up next, 93.3 KJR.